Part 1, Sutra of Innumerable Meanings, Chapter 1, Beneficial Works. Thus have I heard. On one occasion, the Buddha was staying at the city of King House on Mount Gurdwartukha, together with an assembly of 12,000 eminent monks. 80,000 great being bodhisattvas were also there, along with heavenly beings, nagas, yaskas, gandharvas, asuras, garudas, kumaras, and maragas, as well as various monks, nuns, laymen, and laywomen, spontaneously gathered around him, each with retinues of that were hundreds of thousands of myriads in number, were leaders of empires great and small, rulers of gold wheel, silver wheel, and lesser wheel domains, kings, princes, officials of state, and citizens, who were noblemen, noble women, or people of great means. They all made their way to where the Buddha was, bowed their heads at his feet in homage, walked around him 100,000 times, burned incense and scattered flowers, and paid their respects in various ways. After they had honored the Buddha, they withdrew and sat to one side. The bodhisattvas known by name were Manjusiddhi, Prince of the Dharma, Wellspring of Great Majesty, Wellspring of Great Majestic Virtue, Prince of the Dharma, Wellspring of Freedom from Anxiety, Prince of the Dharma, Wellspring of Effective Discourse, Prince of the Dharma, Maitreya Bodhisattva, Facilitating Leader Bodhisattva, King of Medicines Bodhisattva, Incomparable Medicine Bodhisattva, Flower Banner Bodhisattva, Flower Radiance Bodhisattva, Sovereign Master of Dharma Grasping Empowerments Bodhisattva, Regarder of the Voices of the World Bodhisattva, Great Strength Achieved Bodhisattva, Constant Endeavor Bodhisattva, Hands Showing the Seal of the Dharma Bodhisattva, Store of Treasure Bodhisattva, Specter of Treasures Bodhisattva, Transcender of the Three Realms Bodhisattva, Bearer of the Loom Bodhisattva, Incense Elephant Bodhisattva, Great Incense Elephant Bodhisattva, Majestic Roar of the Lion Bodhisattva, Lion Ranging the World Bodhisattva, Heroic Endeavor of the Lion Bodhisattva, Relentlessness of the Lion Bodhisattva, Power and Courage and Dynamism Bodhisattva, Imposing Intensity of the Lion Bodhisattva, Well-Composed Bodhisattva, and Fully Composed Bodhisattva. Such great being bodhisattvas as these numbered 80,000 in all. Without exception, all such bodhisattvas as these are great beings that embody the Dharma. They have achieved perfection in behavioral principles, perfection in concentration, perfection in discernment, perfection in emancipation, and perfection in the perspective that pertains to emancipation. Their minds are calm and tranquil, constantly in contemplation, at peace and at ease, having no cravings and creating no causes, immune to contrary thinking and distraction. Their quiet and pure resolve is boundless, profound, having steadfastly maintained this condition over hundreds of thousands of kotis of kalpas. All the countless approaches to the Dharma are before them here and now. Having gained great wisdom, they fathom all phenomena. Their full grasp of discernment of the truth of the natures and aspects of existence and non-existence in the length and brevity and manifest and clear. They are able, moreover, to clearly perceive conditioned desires of the senses by means of dharma-grasping empowerments, and with unlimited facility of eloquence, they call upon the Buddha to turn the wheel of the Dharma. Emulating him, they are able to turn it as well. They first bring it down in tiny drops that dissolve the dirt of delusive passions. They open Nirvana's gates and fan winds of emancipation, dispelling the world's fevers and trials with the cool refreshment of the Dharma. Next, raining down the deeply profound 12-linked chain of dependent origination, they drench the intense solar flares of its symboled sufferings of ignorance, illness, aging, and death. Then, pouring the supreme great vehicle to overflowing, they immerse and soak the various roots of goodness that living beings possess, cast seeds of goodness widely over fields of beneficial effects, and inspire all beings everywhere to germinate the sprout of enlightenment. With wisdom accumulated over cycles of the sun and the moon, and with skillful means applied within a moment or over time, they advance and extend the work of the great vehicle to enable living beings to quickly achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment and always abide in the reality that is joyful beyond description. With boundless great compassion, they rescue living beings from suffering. These are the great companions of good influence for all living beings. These are bountiful spheres of kindness for all living beings. These are the spontaneous teachers of all living beings. These are centers of joyful tranquility, places of deliverance, shelters for protection, and great heavens of reliability for all living beings. As such, they serve everywhere as extraordinary guides who are of benefit to all, capable of acting as eyes for those who do not see, as ears for those who do not hear, as a nose for those with no sense of smell, as a tongue for those who do not speak. They are able to make deficient faculties become whole and to turn contrariness, unbalance, frenzy, and confusion into the complete right mindfulness. They are shipmasters and great captains that ferry living beings across the river of birth and death, landing them on Nirvana's shore. They are the greatest physicians and master doctors who distinguish the aspects of illness, know well the properties of medicines, offer remedies appropriate to an infliction, and have beings trustingly take them. They are directors and master directors who never lose control, like tamers of elephants or horses who are capable of training without fail. They are like valiant lions whose unconquerable majesty invites respect from all other beasts, comfortably progressing in all bodhisattva practices of perfection, steadfast and immovable in the Tathagata realm, serenely abiding in the strength of their resolve and refining Buddha lands far and wide. They realize and achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment before long. All such great being bodhisattvas possess this kind of wondrous power to do beneficial works. The monks known by name were greatly wise Shariputta, transcendent Magayayana, lifelong sage Saputi, Mahakayayana, Purna, son of Maitrayana, Anjata Kunjinya. Others like them were serenely perceptive Aniruddha, Upali, upholder of the behavioral principles, Ananda, the attendant, Rahula, the son of the Buddha, Upananda, Ravata, Kafina, Vakula, Akyuta, Svagata, Mahakasyapa, he of constant practice, Uravilya Kasyapa, Gaya Kasyapa, and Nadi Kasyapa. Such monks as these were 12,000 in number. All of them were arhats who ended the outflow of all desires, were unhindered by attachments, and had gained true emancipation. There came a certain moment when the great being Bodhisattva fully composed, having recognized that all the gathering had seated themselves with a settled mind, arose from where he sat, as did the 80,000 great being Bodhisattvas within the assembly. They made their way to where the Buddha was, bowed their heads at his feet in homage, walked around him 100,000 times, and burned incense and scattered flowers. Heavenly flowers, heavenly incense, and garments, garlands of celestial jewels and priceless celestial treasures accumulated like clouds in the four directions and spiraled down from the sky as offerings to the Buddha. Celestial bowls and containers were filled to overflowing with hundreds of heavenly delicacies that were spontaneously fully satisfying by appearance and aroma. Celestial flags, celestial banners and canopies, and marvelous celestial amusements were arranged everywhere, and heavenly music was played for the Buddha's enjoyment. Thereupon, they went before the Buddha, knelt formally on one knee, placed their palms together with one mind and one voice, spoke words of praise in verse. Great one, most venerable, fully awakened master, you are without stain, contamination, or attachment. Nurturer of humanly and heavenly beings, tamer of elephants and horses, you infuse the fragrance of virtue into all things by means of the winds of the way. You are serene in wisdom, calm in emotion, composed in deep reflection, and volition extinguished, discrimination set aside, likewise tranquil in mind. You have forever cast away delusive ideas, reflections, and thoughts. No more to become entangled in the facets of existence. What you embody is not existing and yet not non-existent. It is neither direct nor indirect, has no sense of self or other, is neither square nor round, is not brief or long, neither appears nor disappears, is without origination or cessation, is neither created nor self-arisen, nor is it produced, neither sits nor lies, does not walk or stand, neither moves nor turns, is not static or idle, neither advances nor retreats, is not imperiled or secure, neither is nor is not, has no gain or loss, is neither here nor there, does not come or go, is neither blue nor yellow, is not red or white, is not crimson, is not purple or multicolored, comes forth from the perfection of behavioral principles, concentration, discernment, emancipation, and perspective that pertains to emancipation, rises from the three kinds of transcendent knowledge, the six transcendent powers, and the avenues to enlightenment, emanates from kindness, compassion, ten capabilities, and dauntlessness, and emerges according to the good karmic actions of living beings. Your manifestation is nearly 16 feet tall, aglow in purple gold, well-proportioned, greatly radiant and lustrous. The tuft between your eyebrows curves like the crescent moon. The nape of your neck glows like the sun. Your hair is dark blue and curly. There is a wane on the top of your head. Pure eyes shine brightly as they blink up and down. Eyebrows and eyelashes are deep blue and long. Mouth and cheeks have fine definition. Your lips and tongue are beautifully red like vermilion fruits. White teeth, 40 in number, are like snowy agates. Your forehead is wide and your nose is full. You have a welcoming face. Your chest is like that of a lion and it is marked with a sign of virtue. Hands and feet are flexible and have the mark of 1,000 spokes. Your armpits and palms are rounded. Nothing escapes your grasp. Your arms are long from shoulder to elbow to wrist. Fingers are slender and straight. Your skin is soft and delicate, and the hair on it curls to the right. Ankles and knees are not prominent. Genitals, in inclined manner, are concealed. You have slender muscles and ligaments, and your calves are curved like a deer's. Unblemished purity reflects on the outside and pervades within. You are pure water, never muddied or stained. There are 32 aspects like these, and 80 special features can similarly be seen. But in truth, you are without a form that has or does not have aspects. All aspects of all things are beyond the scope of the eye. The characteristic of your aspect embodiment is that of having no aspects. The characteristic of the aspect bodies of all living beings is the same. You are able to inspire living beings to joyfully pay homage, to deeply, sincerely, and devoutly show respect, and by such cause to cast off arrogance and pride of self and achieve the consummate embodiment such as this. We, the assembled 80,000, collectively bow in homage to and take refuge in the great sage who is without attachment, the tamer of elephants and horses, who has superseded emotion, conception, mind, volition, and discrimination. We bow to and confide in the Dharma embodied by synthesis of perfection in behavioral principles, concentration, discernment, emancipation, and perspective that pertains to emancipation, and we bow to and take refuge in the worldly symbolic robe. We bow to and take refuge in that which is hard to give form to in thought or in word. Your Brahma voice that roars like thunder, that has eight virtues, that is pure, deeply resonant, sublime, and far-reaching, conveys the Four Noble Truths, the perfection of the six spiritual attitudes, and the 12-link chain of dependent origination to living beings according to their mindsets and their karmic actions. The minds and hearts of those who hear you will invariably open. They will not fail to sever themselves from the cycles of causeless births and death. Those who hear you will variously attain the fruit of entering the stream, the fruit of one remaining return, the fruit of non-returning, the fruit of arahatship, or freedom from delusion and desire, and transcendence of cause and condition in the status of Pratika Buddha, Or the bodhisattva stage, in which phenomena are grasped as being without origination or cessation, or they will obtain countless dharma-grasping empowerments, or the ability to expound pleasingly with unrestrained great eloquence, to orate in verse profound and sublime, while bathing and reveling in the pure pond of the Dharma. Or they will manifest wondrous abilities to reach any place, to leap and to soar, and to move at will into and out of water and fire. Such are the signs of the wheel of the Dharma. Thus it is pure and limitless, hard to give form to in thought or in word. Together, all of us will bow again and take refuge in the Dharma wheel whenever it is turned. We will bow again and take refuge in the sound of your Brahma voice. We will bow again and take refuge in the Four Noble Truths, the perfection of the spiritual attitudes and dependent origination. World honored one, ever since innumerable kalpas ago, you have cultivated and practiced all beneficial works devotedly for our sake. Human beings, heavenly beings, Naga kings, extending universally to all manner of living beings, you are able to give up everything that is difficult to forgo, your wife, your child, your wealth, your palaces and lands, as selfless with regard to inner matters as you are with material things. You give your mind, your perceptions, and your essence of your being completely for the sake of all people. You will reverently uphold the principles of pure behavior of all Buddhas with unbroken resolve until the end of your life. Should someone bearing sword or staff come to do you harm, or to disparage or denounce you, you will be without anger to the end. Through kalpa after kalpa of all-out endeavor, your intensity has never waned. Night and day, you govern your mind, keeping it constantly focused. You have completely mastered all ways to grasp the Dharma, and your insight penetrates deeply into the core of living beings. Thus, you have come to achieve unhindered capabilities in total command of the Dharma. You are as its king. Together, we all bow and take refuge in the one so steadfast in purpose toward all that is difficult to overcome. Chapter 2, Dharma Discourse. Having recited these verses in praise of the Buddha, the great being Bodhisattva fully composed, and the 80,000 great being Bodhisattvas then addressed the Buddha as one, saying, World honored one, we, the assembled 80,000 Bodhisattvas, now wish to put forth a question concerning the teachings of the Tathagata. We wonder if the world honored one would be kind enough to hear us. The Buddha addressed the Bodhisattva fully composed and the 80,000 Bodhisattva Mahasattvas, saying, Well done, you of good intent, well done. You have correctly read this moment. Ask freely whatever you wish. The Tathagata will be in the state of parinirvana before long, and all should be made to have no remaining doubts after that. I am ready to respond to any question you wish to ask. With that, the Bodhisattva fully composed, and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas then addressed the Buddha with one voice, saying, World honored one, what approach to the Dharma should a great being Bodhisattva practice if he wishes to realize and quickly achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment? What approaches to Dharma can enable great being Bodhisattvas to achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment quickly? In answer to Bodhisattva fully composed and the 80,000 Bodhisattvas, the Buddha said, O you of good intent, there is one approach to the Dharma that can let a Bodhisattva quickly realize the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. If any Bodhisattva masters this approach to the Dharma, he or she will then be able to realize the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment quickly. World honored one, what is the Dharma approach called? What is its essence? How does a Bodhisattva practice it? The Buddha replied, O you of good intent, this particular Dharma approach is known as infinite meanings. A Bodhisattva who wishes to achieve mastery of the practice of infinite meanings must perceive and observe that in and of themselves, all phenomena intrinsically, have been, successively, will be, and currently are tranquil and empty in nature and aspect, without greatness or smallness, without origination or cessation, neither fixed nor moving, non-advancing, non-retreating, like the emptiness of space. They are without duality, living beings, however, thoughtlessly and falsely make polar assessments. It is this, it is that, it is gain, it is loss. Unwholesome thoughts arise in them, producing harmful karmic causes. They cycle and recycle in the realms of existence, piling up harmful passions and sufferings for hundreds of millions of myriads of kalpas. They cannot break themselves free. Clearly perceiving this, the great being bodhisattvas must bring forth the mind of mercy and give rise to great compassion, particularly wishing to relieve living beings of suffering. He or she must then more completely fathom all phenomena, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena come forth, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena settle, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena change, aspects of phenomena being as such will phenomena become void. Aspects of phenomena being as such, an unwholesome phenomena is able to come forth. Aspects of phenomena being as such, a wholesome phenomena is able to come forth. So it is also with regard to settling, changing, and becoming void. After perceiving, observing, and fully understanding everything about these four modes from beginning to end, the bodhisattva must next perceive and observe that all phenomena are impermanent, coming forth and becoming void over and over again from moment to moment, and further grasp that their coming forth, settling, changing, and becoming void are instantaneously occurring. Having perceived and comprehended this, the bodhisattva then have insight into the various conditioned desires of the senses of living beings. Seeing that conditioned desires are innumerable, the bodhisattva expounds the teachings in infinite ways. Because there are infinite ways of exposition, there are infinite meanings as well. The infinite meanings stem from a single dharma. That one dharma, namely, is formlessness. Itself not a form, having no forms, itself not an aspect, having no aspects. This formlessness, as such, is called the reality of all things. When the great being bodhisattva has become serenely composed in this true reality of all things, loving kindness that is clearly real and unfazed will arise. In any circumstance in which living beings may be found, he or she will be truly capable of taking their suffering away. After removing their suffering, the bodhisattva again expounds the teachings for them, causing all living beings to know happiness and joy. O you of good intent, if a bodhisattva is able to practice this particular dharma approach to infinite meanings in this way, he or she will surely and quickly achieve the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. O you of good intent, this is the deeply profound, incomparable, all-faring, infinite meaning sutra. Its content and principles are true and correct, and its value is supreme and unsurpassed. It is embraced by the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. It is impervious to influence of disruptive forces and the influence of differing views, and is neither corrupted nor destroyed by any deluded perception of or the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, you of good intent, if a great being bodhisattva wishes to achieve ultimate enlightenment quickly, he or she must achieve mastery in the practices of this deeply profound, supreme, all-faring, infinite meaning sutra. At that time, the bodhisattva, fully composed, again addressed the Buddha, saying, "World-honored one, a Dharma discourse by the world-honored one is beyond thought and word. The fundamental nature of living beings is also beyond thought and word, and emancipation by the Dharma approach is likewise beyond thought and word. We have no doubts concerning the teachings the Buddha has expounded, but because of the minds of living beings give rise to uncertainty, we put forth a question once more, world-honored one. For more than 40 years, ever since achieving enlightenment, the Tathagata, for the benefit of living beings, has continuously discoursed on the principle of the four modes of all phenomena, the meaning of suffering and the meaning of emptiness, on ever-changingness, non-existence of self, non-greatness, non-smallness, non-origination, and non-cessation, on the formlessness of all things, and upon the natures and aspects of phenomena being intrinsically empty and tranquil, neither coming nor going, neither appearing nor disappearing. Those who hear you variously realize the stage of an ardent mind, the stage of attaining the highest still unsettled condition, the stage of attaining irreversible good roots, the stage of ultimate worldly perception, or the fruit of entering the stream, the fruit of remaining, one remaining return, the fruit of non-returning, and the fruit of a ratchet, or the way of practice of Buddha, or the awakening of the aspiration for enlightenment, and ascent to the first, the second, and the third stage, all the way to the tenth stage of development in bodhisattva practice. In what way does the essence of what you have just expounded differ from that of all the doctrines you have expounded in the past, such that you say that a bodhisattva who practices the deeply profound, supreme, all-faring, infinite meaning sutra will surely realize and quickly achieve ultimate enlightenment? This is a matter in question. I earnestly wish that the world-honored one, out of compassion for all, would explain this in detail for the benefit of living beings far and wide, and is sure that those who hear this teaching in the present and in the future are not left enmeshed in doubt. With that, the Buddha said to the Bodhisattva fully composed, "Well done, you of great good intent. Well done, you have skillfully questioned the Tathagata regarding this profound, unequaled, all-faring, transcendent essence. You should know that you will enable many to benefit. You will please and bring ease to human and heavenly beings, and you will relieve living beings of their suffering. This is the great and real compassion. Trust wholly and completely that this is true. By this direct cause and its outgrowth, you will surely realize and achieve ultimate enlightenment. You will enable all living beings now and in the future to realize and achieve ultimate enlightenment. O you of good intent, by virtue of sitting upright and properly for 6 years at the place of the way, beneath the Bodhi tree, I realized and achieved the full dynamic of ultimate enlightenment. With the insight of the Buddha, I perceived that not everything should be explained. What is the reason for this? It is that the conditioned desires of all living beings are not the same. Since conditioned desires differ because of the ways of expounding the Dharma are many and various. For more than 40 years, I have expounded the Dharma in all manner of ways through adeptness and skillful means, but the core truth has still not been revealed. That is why living beings differ regarding realization of the way and do not realize and quickly achieve ultimate enlightenment. A you of good intent, the Dharma is like water that can wash away dirt and grime. Whether coming from a well or a pond or a stream or a river, a valley or a ditch or an ocean, the water contained in all of these can effectively wash away all kinds of dirt and grime. So it is also with the water of the Dharma. It can cleanse living beings of the dirt of all delusive worldly passions. O you of good intent, the character of water is the same, even though streams, rivers, wells, ponds, valleys, ditches, and oceans are each different and distinct. So it is also with the character of the Dharma. It removes and vanishes and washes away the dirt of delusive passions. Equally and without discrimination, the three teachings, the four fruits, and the two ways, however, are not one and the same. O you of good intent, although the water from these places is cleansing, a well is not a pond is neither a stream nor a river, and valleys and ditches are not oceans. The Tathagata, hero of the world, in total command of the Dharma, has expounded various teachings that are also like this, the initial period discourses, the middle period discourses, and the latter period discourses are all able to remove and wash away delusive worldly passions of living beings, but the initial period discourses are not the middle ones, and the middle period discourses are not the latter ones. The initial, middle, and latter period discourses express the same thing, yet they differ from each other in meaning. O you of good intent, arising from beneath the Bodhi tree, I went to the deer park in Varanasi. When I turned the Dharma wheel of the Four Noble Truths for five renunciants, including Anjata Kunjinya, I also was saying that all phenomena intrinsically are empty and tranquil, successively occurring but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void moment to moment. When I proclaimed, narrated, and lectured on the 12-linked chain of dependent origination, or the perfection of the six spiritual attitudes for the monks, or for the assemblies of bodhisattvas respectively, here and at other places during the middle period, I was also saying that all phenomena are extrinsically empty and tranquil, successively occurring, but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void from moment to moment. Now again, in this place, discoursing on the All-Faring Infinite Meaning Sutra, I am also saying that phenomena are intrinsically empty and tranquil, successively occurring but not remaining, coming forth and becoming void moment to moment, O you of good intent. This is why the initial period discourses, the middle period discourses, and the current discourse express the same thing, even though they differ in meaning. Because meanings differ, living beings understand differently. Because they understand, their understanding differs, so does their grasp of the Dharma, their attainment of its fruits, and their realization of the way. O you of good intent, I expounded the Four Noble Truths for the benefit of those seeking to become Shravakas during the initial period. Yet 800 million heavenly beings came down to hear the teaching and awakened an aspiration for enlightenment. I spoke about the sublimely profound 12-linked chain of dependent origination at various locations during the middle period for the benefit of people seeking to become Pratika Buddhas. Nevertheless, innumerable living beings awakened the aspiration for enlightenment or remained as Shravakas. I next described Kalpa's long bodhisattva practice by expounding 12 types of comprehensive sutras, the Great Perfection of Wisdom Sutra, and the similes of clouds and oceans in the Flower Garden Sutra. Even so, 100,000 monks, hundreds of millions of myriads of human and heavenly beings, and innumerable living beings attained the fruit of entering the stream, attain the fruit of one remaining return, attain the fruit of non-returning, attain the fruit of arhatship, or stayed within their understanding of the principle of dependent origination as Pratika Buddhas. O you of good intent, accordingly, it should be known that even though the discourse is the same, its meanings will vary. Because the meanings vary, living beings have various understandings. Because their understandings vary, so does their grasp of the Dharma, their attainment of its fruits, and their realization of the way. And so, you of good intent, starting from when I established the way and first began to expound the Dharma, until this moment in which I am discoursing on the All-Faring Infinite Meaning Sutra, there has never been a time when I have not expounded suffering, emptiness, ever-changingness, non-existence of self, non-reality, non-unreality, non-greatness, non-smallness, intrinsic non-origination, continuing non-cessation, the formlessness of all things, that aspects and natures of phenomena neither come nor go, and that the four modes, are the dynamic of living beings. O you of good intent, What all this means is that the Buddhists have but one message. They are able to conform universally to all voices by means of a single sound from a single body. They are able to manifest embodiments as countless and as immeasurable as millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges rivers, sands. Then, in each embodiment, manifest various shapes as countless as millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges rivers, sands. Then, in each shape, display appearances as countless as some millions upon millions of myriads of Ganges River sands, O you of good intent. This, in fact, is the profound and unimaginable realm of all the Buddhas. It is neither knowable by those of the two vehicles, nor reachable by bodhisattvas in the 10th development stage. Only a Buddha together with a Buddha can fathom it completely, O you of good intent. Thus do I expound the transcendent, profound, incomparable, all-faring, infinite meaning sutra. Its content and principles are true and correct, and its value is supreme and unsurpassed. It is embraced by the Buddhas of the past, present, and future. Together, it is impervious to the influence of disruptive forces and the influence of differing views, and is neither corrupted nor destroyed by any deluded perception of the cycles of birth and death. If great being bodhisattvas wish to achieve ultimate enlightenment quickly, they should achieve mastery in the practice of this deeply profound, unsurpassed, all-faring, infinite meaning sutra. This ends the first part of this sutra of innumerable meanings.